coming to Oak Beach, specifically online. And here I am with one of the co-directors of Sharela, Darisha Pai. And what drew you to this very complex and very talented woman, Sharela Vargas?
Sharela Vargas' life was like a movie already. And when I found out about her, which was in 2015, when we started the film, Catherine showed me the clues that she had. I saw her talking to this young group of young lesbians, and the way she spoke, the poetry of her language, the way she held herself, you could feel power coming from this woman. You could feel wisdom coming from this woman. And there was a certain magnetism about her that would just draw you in without even knowing anything. So it started there, just from watching a few moments of her talking to this group of women. And then that night I went home and I researched her. And I came back going, oh my God, yes, we have to do a documentary about this badass woman. Because she was a badass from start to finish. As my friend said the other day, she was born wrong.
Yeah. I personally was introduced to her through a little film for music. I wanted to know whose voice was that, and did my own research and went, oh my God. She was born definitely way ahead of her time, and I think that's probably why she was the way she was.
Yes, she was a trailblazer. You know, she was out there with the machete hacking down obstacles for the rest of us, you know? And that's another thing that makes me admire and respect her and want to make this film about her, is because to celebrate that kind of tenacity, that kind of strength, you know, that fortitude to just stay on the path, you know? I mean, yeah, she went off into drunkenness off the path a few times, but still, even within that, you know, there was something about her that was just firm, you know, that was never going to give up.
But you mean that part of her life is still a woman of that time, being a lesbian, a period where she knew who she was.
Yes.
And it was tough.
Yes.
What I love about the documentary is that, like you said, you have footage that you found, archival footage and things like that. But there's so much about this that is so compelling. Because so much of it is in her words, and I really appreciate that you guys just don't make it.
You know, it's interesting. We were very conscious about wanting Chavela's voice to be the voice that told the story. We did not want narration by any stretch of the imagination. We wanted her either through her own words or through her music, because she was very particular about what she sang, the songs that she sang. She picked those songs very carefully, you know, and they meant things to her. And they spoke for her. She spoke to people through the songs, you know. So it was very important which songs we used, where we used them, how we used them, so that they could continue the conversation that we were having with the audience, you know. So we tried to be very strategic about how to use those songs. We had a lot of discussions about which song to use to open the film, for example. Originally, we were going to use Así es la Vida, because this was when Catherine interviewed her. It was at a point where she stopped drinking. So she was no longer going Hacia la Muerte. She was now going towards life instead of towards death. But when we put it up there and we did the whole movie down, this theme about the solitude, you know, about how alone she was, about how much she enjoyed being alone, about what solitude meant to her, it just kept coming up, coming up. So finally we thought, well, maybe we should start with that. And we, you know, we're like, well, maybe that'll be a downer. People will be sad from the beginning. But what? And I thought, well, but you know, it'll signal to people what this movie is about, is going to be about. It'll sort of prepare them for the journey.
Told the story. I mean,
it was signaling to you, this story is going to be about somebody who was alone. So, you know, we had those kind of discussions around how to place the music and what it meant and what it should mean and all that. And even just translating the lyrics, that was a whole other process.
So Catherine Gunn, who your partner on this project, actually spent time with Chavela?
Yes, Catherine actually met Chavela in 91. She was in Mexico. She was an activist with ACT UP and had lost one of her best friends to AIDS and was sort of, you know, running from her grief when she was in this school. But she was always wandering around the camera, because that's what she did for ACT UP. She shot things, you know, she documented people. So she had this camera and she started hanging out with this group of young lesbians in Mexico, and they said, Chavela made a comeback, you have to come see her, hear this music. And she she listened to the records, we're like, yeah, let's go see her, and asked Chavela, and Chavela said, sure, you can show me. And what's interesting is that, you know, she was so open. She was so vulnerable and so raw and so honest in the footage that she got. And I think there's a couple of factors. One is that, you know, at that point in her career, Chavela was a has-been. People thought she was dead, you know. So for her, this was like, oh, somebody's interested in me, right? Of course you can shoot me. That's one thing. Then the other thing is, here's this group of young, adoring lesbians, right, who just want to hear drops of wisdom coming from her lips, you know. So they, I mean, I think she was just like, oh, I haven't had, you know, yes, of course, come on, children. Yeah, come on, little girls, let me tell you about life, right? So she was sort of reveling in that elder stateswoman. Let me share the world with you and teach you a few things, my little chickadees.
She probably never knew her life would change so drastically.
You know, it's interesting. I'm not sure if she knew or not. You know, she was a shaman. We didn't get as deeply into her shamanic powers as I would have liked to. You know, the 93 years and 90 minutes, it just isn't enough time to do everything. But I, you know, that moment when she says, let's not talk about where I've been, let's talk about where I'm going. I think she had an idea that her life wasn't over. But you know, in true Chavela form, she was still always talking about, this could be the last concert, this could be the last show, this could be the last thing I do. But at the same time, she had plans, she had dreams, she knew she wasn't done. So I'm not sure, you know? Like, you never know with Chavela. You never know with Chavela. And I love that, you know?
You know, I thank you, both you and John, for making this documentary. It's well overdue for something like this. Do you have any other plans for more Chavela or any other woman of the strength that you would be interested in?
I've just started working on a new documentary called Mama Bears, and it is about the ways in which the lives of conservative, evangelical Christian mothers are transformed when they decide to affirm, accept, and support their LGBTQ kids. Yes, honey, because it rocks them from the soul up, right? All from the bottom to the top. You know, when they decide to love their kids no matter what, then they have to change everything they were taught to believe. Then they lose their churches, they lose family members, you know, but a lot of them come out fierce. Come out like, you know, gangbusters supporting their kids. I started shooting a trailer with two women who were past almost tea party women, right? Now these women they just did a 10-city tour where they have a banner that says Free Mom Hugs that they take out to LGBT events, to gay pride marches, and just hug people, just hug queer people across America. Because they realize that a lot of these kids get rejected by their families the moment they come out, and that puts them at risk. So they're there to give love and support and an ear to listen and a hug and a shoulder to cry, you know. And then they also met with community leaders and church pastors and preachers, you know, to talk to them about intolerance and the importance of acceptance, you know. So, I mean, here's these two evangelical women using that evangelicalism for us, for the LGBTQ community, right? Okay. Like, who'd have thought?
Thank you so much. Can you just have a couple bars of Evil Dream?
Oh, I don't remember the lyrics. I don't remember.
I stumped her.
Yeah.
I remember those lyrics. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate this.
Thank you.